We know that in the first few months of a baby's life, the best food is breast milk. It has a range of benefits, including cognitive development. But breastfeeding isn't always possible, and infant formula is a close second in terms of keeping babies healthy. But is it possible to enrich infant formula with ingredients that can help boost that cognitive ability? Different groups have tried adding various supplements to formula, and now a group of researchers in the UK has pulled together these trials and compared them to academic performance in later life. A spoiler alert, the verdict is that supplementation didn't seem to make a difference. Mary Futrell was one of the authors on this paper, and she joins us now. Hi, Mary.
Hello.
So when you're dealing with really subtle changes in something like cognitive development over a pretty long time, it must be hard to get enough data to actually form conclusions. So how did you do it?
So we took advantage of the fact that our research group has for many years conducted randomised trials looking at different modifications to infant formulas for both term infants and preterm infants. We've, as I say, conducted a number of trials dating back to the 1980s. But the problem is that usually in these trials, the outcome, that is the cognitive outcomes, have been measured in infancy. And usually you don't have funding to follow the trials later into life. And even when we have attempted to do this, you typically get a lot of loss to follow up. So you end up with a small and slightly biased sample. And that doesn't really enable you to answer the question of whether the modification to the formula has actually made a difference to the cognitive outcome. So what was different here was that we had the opportunity to work with some of our colleagues who work in data linkage and in education. And we were able to link the participants from seven of our trials from the 1990s to routinely collected education data. So essentially the GCSE exams, which children in the UK take at the age of 16, we were able to link those results to the formula modifications to see in pretty much a complete follow-up, which we wouldn't actually ever obtain in real life if we asked the participants to actually come and attend a study centre. So we minimised the attrition using this data linkage, which was very effective, and therefore we were able to get quite complete results relating to these different modifications.
And I've sort of stolen your thunder a bit, but what was your key finding?
Well, as you said, we found that none of the modifications that we examined actually improved the academic output of the children. So our main outcome was their maths GCSE result, and then we had a secondary outcome, which was their English result at age 16. And then we also looked at their maths and English results at the end of primary school, so around the age of 11. And in no case did the modification to the formula produce a benefit. In fact, we found in one of our secondary outcomes that the addition of long-chain fatty acids to the formulas, if anything, was associated with a slightly lower score in English and maths at age 11, although that wasn't seen for the outcomes at age 16.
What might be going on there?
Specifically with regard to the long-chain fatty acids?
Yeah.
We don't know. All I can say is that those findings are consistent with some other data, limited data that we have on long-term follow-up from long-chain fatty acids. I mean, it's inconclusive as to whether this is actually a sort of detrimental effect. As I said, it wasn't there at age 16 in our primary outcome, but it's certainly something that needs further consideration. I think it's also important to say that there are lots of different ways of adding these long-chain fatty acids to infant formulas. It's not as simple as just getting a long-chain fatty acid and out of a bottle and putting it in the formula. There are lots of different types of supplementation, and we just our trials just looked at one particular type. So we probably need further data from other LC-PUFA supplementation strategies as well, and different doses and things. So it's quite complicated.
So, I mean, infant formula have a lot of different ingredients in them. The ones that you were looking at particularly were nutrient-enriched formula, this long-chain polyunsaturated fatty acid, it's a real mouthful, and then a high iron formula. Why were these the three kind of added ingredients that you were looking at?
I think because historically those were the areas of infant formula design or infant formula use that were thought to potentially have the most impact, likely to have the most impact on cognitive development. So that's why those trials were set up in the 1990s. So there was, in the 1990s, there was a lot of interest in whether by adding long-chain fatty acids to a formula, you would improve outcome, basically because they are present in breast milk and they didn't used to be present in formulas. And so there was a lot of interest in adding them. But I think, as an aside, this sort of illustrates that it just because something is in breast milk, it's not that you can't assume that just by putting it in a formula, it's going to work in the same way as it does in breast milk, which, as you said in your introduction, is a very sort of complicated biological fluid. The sort of matrix is very different to infant formula. So I think we've probably learned that. With regard to iron, I should perhaps highlight that the study that we looked at was actually concerning follow-on formulas. So the formulas
for
that
older
are used
kids.
Beyond 6 months of age when infant iron requirements are very high. So there's been a lot of interest in, it's a period where infants are at risk of iron deficiency, which we know is not good for the brain. And so there's been a lot of interest about whether putting higher amounts of iron would actually help infant cognitive development and subsequent brain development as well. So we were comparing two different levels of iron supplementation in follow-on formulas. And our results suggested that the higher amounts of iron didn't benefit long-term outcome more than the sort of standard amounts of iron. So it's not saying that iron is not important. It is. It's just it's a question of trying to get the right level.
Right. So what are the implications of this study? Are there implications for parents or for regulators around what should be going into infant formula?
So I would say that I don't think our findings have implications for parents in terms of choosing formulas because the formula composition is regulated. I mean, it's different in different parts of the world, but it's regulated anyway. So I don't think it has direct implications for parents. What I think it's important is that the results will be very useful for scientific bodies and regulators who are making assessments of what the composition of infant formulas or follow-on formulas should be. They would never act on just to one piece of evidence because there's lots of things to take into account when you're deciding what should be in a formula. For example, you've got to take account of the nutritional requirements of the infant, the composition of breast milk, short-term growth, those sorts of things. But the sort of health outcomes are important as well. And so our data will be very useful because they're really the longest-term cognitive data that are currently available. And as I said at the beginning, we have very complete follow-up because of using this quite new data linkage approach so that you don't have the normal loss to follow-up, which all of the previous trials have experienced when they've done follow-up.
Absolutely. Mary, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Mary Futrell is Professor of Paediatric Nutrition at the University College London, Great Ormond Street Institute of Child Health.